Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast that just had a planning meeting before we started recording. It's the Pens and Stuff podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
And we are back in separate places this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are a week removed from Columbus. I am even more in pain about the game than I was when we recorded last week. But nevertheless, it's the Pens. Welcome back. We are excited that you are here listening to us. It's been a slow week for Penguins hockey.
It has.
Only two games to talk about this week. So we have a little fun game about Penguins hockey that we're going to be doing. But let's talk about the games that happened this week. We have the Penguins playing the Carolina Hurricanes on Saturday. They lost that one. In overtime? Am I correct? That was an overtime game, right?
It was Vegas on Saturday in overtime.
Vegas. I'm sorry. It was Vegas in overtime on Saturday.
No, we didn't lose in overtime to Vegas. And then, we did not lose in overtime to Vegas. That's not what
it was. Just a regular loss.
It's okay. Not what I'm seeing on the schedule.
No, you're right. A 3-2 loss against Vegas in regulation, and then on Monday, a regulation loss to Arizona. 5-2-2.
That was embarrassing.
The biggest blunders of the last 20 years.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
The hockey happened. Yeah. So let's talk about the Vegas game. I did not watch either of these games because I'm an old man and in bed by 9. So I didn't watch any of those. The East Coast. We're on the East Coast. Well, we're in the Midwest, but Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys watched any of those, but go ahead and talk about what you think about the game.
I didn't watch either game, but I was extremely depressed by the results of both. Specifically the Arizona game because, well, there was that goal that just Malkin scored on our own net. Well, Tanger scored on our own net. On the
with a great defensive play. With a great defensive play by Gino, he stopped it, and then it just slipped through.
It was just extremely... I don't know. It just felt...
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
It felt just about right, you know? You see that play and you're like, yep, that makes sense for this team right now. So, yeah, I didn't watch either game, but it was tough.
Well, I did watch the highlights of both of these games. And I got to say that the way the Vegas game started, I was very pleased. The way that it ended, I wanted to, cause bodily harm to myself because it was absolutely,
oh my goodness,
it was absolutely atrocious.
It was not a great look.
The goals given up were, they just, the go ahead goal, in my opinion, should have been stopped. Jari has to come up with that. That's just not a goal that an NHL goalie needs to be letting in. But the other two, I mean, they were very good plays by the Golden Knights, and they're let's face it, they're a good team. It was not good, and it's been the issue that this team has had all season long, where they get a lead and then they stop playing in the third period, and that's exactly what happened. So, it was not a good look at all. And then yes, the game on the 22nd, that was just I don't know how a team with the talent that this team has plays like that against a team like Arizona. It's that Chicago game from last year all over again. Just we shoot ourselves in the foot, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Seemingly, you can yell and you can scream and you can complain, but nothing seems to change. And I don't know what this team needs to shake it out of its doldrums. Now there has been talk, and I will throw this out here. You guys can respond to it. There has been talk, a lot of talk on the message boards and even from some pundits saying that this team needs a shakeup and maybe at the trade deadline, we need to see one of the big three go. what do you say? And they're specifically targeting Malkin in that. What do you think?
Malkin will not get enough return after his play this year. We won't get back what he's worth. I don't think anyone's going to want to pay what he is actually worth after the season he's been having, when there are quite a few other guys on the trade block that would be more appealing to a contending team.
I would disagree on at least one point of that. I think, though, if Gino went to another team, I think that automatically inspires him to do better. And I think he's just gotten way too comfortable here in Pittsburgh. He feels like nothing's going to happen to him. Like, you know, maybe Sully needs to bench him for a couple of games and just say,
No. If you're going to bench, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
If you're going to bench Malkin, you cannot bring him back. You don't bench a player of caliber like that. Especially now, if it was like a John Cooper who had been there as long as those players, like as long as Poynton's been there, as long as Kucherov has been there.
Gotcha.
You could do it.
I understand.
But Sully came in after Malkin was already established, after Malkin won a Conn Smythe, after Malkin won an Art Ross. Like, Sully has less power than Malkin does, and that's the problem.
Right.
I feel like.
Well, then what do you think about trading him, Andrew?
I think you could. But you could also trade a guy like Brian Rust. You could also trade a guy like Chris Letang. And I think that would be a wake-up call to Malkin, being like, hey, Letang just got shipped off. You're not safe. And you'd have to do it before the deadline.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Malkin would be like, well, sure, Letang's gone, but I still have a full another year before. Like, I can play the way I have been and be fine until next year, you know?
Yeah, but something's got to shake this team up. Something has got to wake them up. And I don't know if there's anything that can, aside from some kind of a drastic move by Dubas. Whether or not he's got the guts to do it or not remains to be seen.
I was watching the Dallas Stars play the Anaheim Ducks last night, and I was just thinking, this was way out of left field, and I'm like, if anyone would do this, this is Dubas, and this is probably never going to happen given the fact that this player's injured right now. But you send a guy like, I mean, probably not Gino, because that's not what the Ducks want. But if somehow Dubas pulls the strings to get Trevor Zegras on Pittsburgh,
I'd watch healthy, that.
You get an asterisk there, and he stays healthy, yeah. Right? Like, I think Pittsburgh, that boosts Pittsburgh in a lot of the ways that they've been lacking, especially like with youth and speed. However, one player like Trevor Zegras is not going to change the entire trajectory of the team.
Now.
And he has not been able to stay healthy. He's had two different injuries this year so far that have been, he's played like 10 games or something. And so obviously that probably won't happen, but a trade like that in my brain is what Pittsburgh really does need.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jake Guentzel. You send Jay Guentzel, you send P.O. Joseph, you send a first-round pick this year, and you bring back Trevor Zegras.
And McTavish. And
if anyone could teach Trevor Zegras how to stay healthy, it'd be Sidney Crosby. Crosby suffered from injuries in his career. Yes, most of them were concussion-related, headache-related, but Crosby could help him learn how to not get injured, I think, personally.
Let's add McTavish to that deal.
No. Anaheim is not getting rid of McTavish, but I will say something. The reason
McTavish Zegras, is a butt. You're right, Abby.
The reason that Zegras popped into my head is because I think he's going to want out of Anaheim because they just up
Drysdale. And
got rid of his best friend. You know, I don't think he's going to want to play for them, just the type of guy he is. I think he's going to take that personally.
Yeah.
And I think he's the type of player that'll be kind of like more like an NBA player. Like, yeah, I'm not going to play for you kind of thing, but he doesn't have that.
Kind of like Cutter Gauthier.
See, I don't know if Cutter Gauthier was, I think he had some actual problems with the Philadelphia organization, but I'm not going to get into that because that's all personal opinion because nothing has been said. However, I think Trevor Zegras doesn't have the power right now to say, get me out of here, because, you know, he's been injured and hasn't had a remarkable season this year. And so I do think he would be one of those players that could be dispensable for that team because they have such a deep center core that,
yeah, especially now,
like they could stand to, you know, trade Zegras for some more defense or something, or like a younger goalie or something like that, you know?
Right.
So yeah. Anyways, that was just why that popped into my head. I don't think going to happen, but I was like, what if that happened? That would be wild. Could.
So getting back to the game in Mullet Arena.
Yeah.
That,
what an electric place though. Sorry.
Yeah, it is an amazing arena. It is an amazing place.
It's great. Small, but a great.
But here's the other thing that's frustrating. You were on a power play, right? Or the other team was on a power play.
No. Yeah, the other team was on a power play.
Penalty committed. Now you have an opportunity. You're trying to kill clock so you have a longer power play. And Letang and Malkin and Sid are all on the ice when that goal is scored. And that is an image that is going to be replayed over and over and over and over and over again. And a lot of people, that's going to be what they remember about these big three, especially if, you know, for some reason Dubas decides to pull a trigger on a trade, whether it involves Malkin or whether it involves Letang. So that's going to be the last look of these three guys together, if that happens. Yep. I've got to believe that something like that has got to happen. I mean, we had such high hopes when the season started that this was going to be an amazing year with the talent that we had. The power play's been five on five, we've kind of been meh. Penalty kill, we've given up, what, five or six shorthanded goals. There's really nothing that, you know, goaltending's been mid. There's really nothing about this team that jumps up and bites you in the rear end and says, you have to take us seriously. Because I don't think there's a team in the league that wouldn't come into Pittsburgh or have Pittsburgh come into their barn and they would be like, oh my gosh, it's the Penguins. I just don't. I don't think this team is that good right now.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is that the way the team has been set up, like the beginning of the season, it was, this is our year. We have to win for the core.
Right.
And since that's not happening, like, is it even feasible that Dubas tries to like make this team a contender this year? Like, should we actually be thinking about the fact that we might not make playoffs? We might be conservative sellers at the deadline because with all of the problems that we have, like you said, nothing that we have right now is going to be good enough to win you a playoff series. None of the special teams, none of, like, the goaltending, like our defense has been probably the best, and that still has been just barely above average. And so with that, like, are we actually going to be trying to make a team for playoffs this year? Like, is that what our mindset is? Like, it probably has to be because of the way that we set it up at the beginning of the season. But also, I don't think it's feasible that we make it past the first round, if playoffs at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think first, if we make the playoffs, we're out in the first round. I mean, look at where we would be set up. We would probably be a wild card team, and we would be playing one of the number one teams, either the Atlantic champ or the
Boston or the Rangers, as it sits right now.
Yeah, and
do we beat Boston or the Rangers? No,
not in my world.
The Panthers or the Hurricanes?
Not in my world.
We could possibly beat the Canes.
Yes.
That's the only one.
What about Tampa or Philly? Do we go in with confidence saying we can beat the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Philly?
I don't know how you can have confidence going into a playoff series with the team as it's constructed right now.
Remember, we're Pittsburgh sports fans. We always have confidence. We had confidence the Steelers would beat the Bills.
Oh yeah.
I did.
You put money on that.
That's one of us. But
and it wasn't even on the money line, or not even on the over under. It was over under 10 points. Should have put it on the over, but you know what? It's okay. Anyway. But right now, as it sits, we got four games in hand on the Red Wings, who sit at the second wild card. And we're down by 7 points to them. So if we just win those four games in hand, we're ahead of Detroit. As long as we don't play Detroit.
Easier said than done.
Easier said than done, for sure. Now the Washington Capitals are ahead of us, the Islanders, the Devils, the Wings.
We have two games in hand on the Devils and the Capitals, and four games in hand on the Islanders.
And two games in hand on the Leafs and the... Yeah.
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 Also, Philly has been not looking good, so Philly could drop out of the third spot in the Metro, too.
I mean,
got pretty quick.
Devils are the next in the fourth in the Metro, and they are 5 points behind the Flyers and have three games in hand. So the Flyers and the Devils have been looking really good as of late.
Yeah, they've been looking a lot,
in my opinion,
a lot better. Considering they're still pretty injured.
But they'll be without McLeod and Foot. Not huge role players, but Michael McLeod is a good player for them. But they are both dealing with other stuff at the moment.
Correct.
So, So this next week, that's the playoff picture again for the Penguins. This next week for the Penguins looks as so. I mean, it's the wild card. The break for All-Star break. So we have the Panthers tonight, Friday, remember.
Yep.
And then the Habs tomorrow on Saturday when the podcast drops.
Yep.
And then they're off for the week until Crosby's in Toronto playing for the All-Star game.
Yep.
Which, again, is happening, believe it or not, whether or not you know that or not, it is happening. I forgot because... Marketing.
The Penguins don't.
Says the NHL.
The Penguins don't play again until the 6th. So,
Well, we'll finally have three or more hockey games in a week, which hasn't happened for the Penguins in forever.
Well, yeah. This
2 weeks.
So our next podcast will be talking about these two games that Andrew just mentioned.
Yep. And then
the All-Star games that are coming up, we'll be talking about that.
That'll be that night.
But then we only have one game that next week. Pittsburgh only has one game that next week. But then the following week, we got four. So, so that'll be a better, more things to talk about in that podcast. So
before we talk about the next week, letter grade for this last week.
F.
D plus.
I don't think there's any way you can give them any credit for anything that happened this last week. Cause the two games they played, one, they got a lead and blew it. And the second one, they just looked like crap. And I don't mean to be anti-Pittsburgh sports fan because I know, you know, what you said, Andrew, we're always optimistic. But seriously, this team is can I use the term putrid? I mean, it's just putrid right now.
We have not strung together I can't say that because the Seattle Kraken game was a full 60 minutes.
It was.
But we haven't really... We haven't done that on a consistent basis, which is what you need to win.
Yeah.
Yes. Consistent playing so I don't want to be that person who brings up the Dallas Stars, but I'm going to do it because...
You're that person.
I am that person. but they've had some struggles winning games over the past however long. Like, they haven't been as powerhousey of a team as we imagine the Dallas Stars to be. However, in those
you
games that
Dallas Stars to be,
I know them to be. Okay. But in those games, still the games that they lose, they're still in them. Like very rarely are they outmatched by an opponent. And that's what you want from a Stanley Cup contending team. And yeah. I haven't seen that in the Penguins at all this season. Haven't seen that bounce, haven't seen that consistency. And they weren't even really that way last season either, which is why they missed the playoffs. So it's just, that's what you need, and that's not what we have. So again, it just begs the question, is this even a playoff team?
Yeah. Right now I would say no. I mean, no, we're not. We're not.
Nope. Yeah. I'll give them, like you said, F, D. Did you say D minus or D?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say D minus because it was just, I liked the way they started that Vegas game, but then again, they just fell apart. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, with that being said, looking forward to the week, and then we'll jump into the game after that. But possible 4 points up for grabs for the Penguins. What do we think happens here in these next 2 days, today more?
Well, you're playing Florida. I've got nothing in my heart that says we're going to get a point out of that game, but I think we beat Montreal. And again, it depends on what happens in this first game. You know, if they get blown out, they may come back and just say, you know, screw this, we're going to kick Montreal's butt. Then again, you know, they might, you never know with this, you never know how they're going to react to any given situation as the year goes on. And it's like watching a bad B movie of, you know, with no plot. It's just like, what's going to happen next? And it's just very frustrating.
Yeah. It's extremely frustrating as a fan, but also as like someone, like we're not analysts, but like trying to analyze this team. It's like, well, we could say that they're going to be this way, but they haven't proven themselves to be consistently this way. And they haven't proven themselves to be consistently good or consistently bad. It's just like exactly what you said. Like you never know what to expect. So it just makes everything more difficult.
So the old adage is this, you are as a team, what your record says you are, right? Right now,
barely above average.
We are a mid team. We're a mid team, and there's no getting around it. We're not the elites. We're not the trash. But the problem with this is that being that mid range is which is where we have been most years. It leads us to a early playoff exit, and then we don't get a good draft pick. And I don't mean to bring football into it, but it's kind of what the Steelers' problem has been.
Good enough to get in.
Yeah, and then not good enough to do anything with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
I say 2 points too.
Yeah.
Back to the question at
hand. Yeah. 2 points.
Yeah. That would be safe bet. 2 points. But yeah, all right. That is the week that happened, the week that is going to come. And now for our game. We asked ChatGPT to give us a title for this game, and the title that they came up with a little bit of added from Abby, is the Pittsburgh Power Play, ranking the best Penguins players this season. So the way it works is I'm going to give the team of experts and analysts, which Abby, we are analysts. We have a podcast.
Okay.
Give them a name of a Penguin player. So for say Abby, and we'll all, when we give the name, we'll have a minute as a team to give our star rankings for that player, and then have a little bit of time to back it up. We only have a minute per player.
Okay.
And the star ranking can be anywhere from half a star to 5 stars. And we have 9 players on this list. We're not going to do the whole team because that is ridiculous. But that being said, Jim, start the clock. Abby, you have... we'll go through. Abby will give a star ranking. Jim will give a star ranking. I'll give a star ranking. Then Abby will have some time to back it up. Jim will have some time to back it up. And if time permits, I'll have some time to back it up. So, does that make sense?
Yes.
Do we understand how to play? It's blurry. We can't see the timer.
Yep. Okay, there it is.
All right, Abby, the first player we have on the list is Sidney Crosby.
4.75.
Oh, 4.75. Jim, what's your star ranking for that?
4.5.
I'm going to say 5 stars. He's the only reason we're any good. Abby, give us some time. Back it up.
Okay. I think just the eye test, you know, Sid has been incredible this year. Age doesn't seem to bother him at all. I didn't give him a full 5 stars because there have been times where he has looked a little bit slower, a little bit less crisp on plays than vintage Sid, which is fair. But yeah, so 4.75.
I said 4.5 because for all the reasons Abby said, but I think the bigger reason that mine's a little lower than Abby's is because I think he hasn't like grabbed this team by, forgive me for saying this, but by the balls and said, this is what we're going to do. Yeah. So just,
I think he's the only reason we're above 500. He's like, come on boys, get on my back. We're going to go to the playoffs. That's what I think. All right. The next player we have Jake, the Snake Gensel. Jim, you'll start first. Go ahead. Give us your star ranking.
4.25.
I'm going to say 4 stars. Abby.
I will say 4.5.
Okay. Right, Jim, I think Jake is doing very well this year. I don't think his year this year is as good as he was last year or the year before. So he's kind of dropped down a little bit. Scoring wise, he's still doing great. Second in points, second in goals. So that's why I give him 2.5. 2.25.
Yeah.
4.25.
I'm going to say 4 simply because Jake Gensel, we haven't seen what he can do without Crosby, really. So, like, is he having a good season because Crosby's having a good season? I don't know. But, again, Jake Gensel still puts the biscuit in the basket more often than anyone on this team. So, Jake Gensel's 4 stars.
I think the Sid thing is always going to be the narrative with Jake for as long as he's in the league. Yeah. And I think he is a good player. And I think he is good, not just because he plays with Sid. And he's having a phenomenal year. So, boom.
There you go. All right. The next player we have on this list is Big Jeff Carter. I'm giving him a 2 stars star ranking.
Only 2.
I'm going to say 2.75.
Wow. I think Jeff.
Just give him a 3.
I think Jeff is at 3.5.
Wow.
And I'll explain all it right. if I get a chance.
Yeah, you'll explain. Jeff Carter. He's playing fourth line minutes and you just look, he's got 7 points in like 38 games or something like that. And Valtteri Puustinen has the same amount of points in half as many games. So I just, Jeff Carter's slow as frick. So
I think Jeff Carter's slow. I think he's a fourth liner though. He's not getting the ice time that he was, and he's not making the same defensive mistakes that he was. I think being on the wing has super improved his game. Like last year, I would have given him 1.75. But this year, 2.75, I think, is right where he's playing.
I think 3.5 is where he needs to, is where he is because he's doing a heck of a lot better than any of us thought he would this year. So deal with it.
Yeah. Valid. Next up, we've got the man, the myth, the legend, Christopher Letang. Abby, start
3.5.
2.5.
I'm giving him a 3.
Okay, Tanger is just every year you're like, what are we going to get from him? He's great scoring defenseman, has not been looking good defensively, making so many costly mistakes. And it's just at this point with this team, he has to be better.
Chris Letang is not as good as he was in years past. Granted, he's got, he's playing with other guys who are just as good as far as Carlson and all them are concerned. So that probably brings his play down a little bit or his need to play extremely well down. But yeah, I don't think he's doing as well as he could be.
Yeah. I think he's benefiting a lot more from Brian Dumoulin being gone and getting Pettersson playing with him. I think he's been playing just fine on the offensive side of the ball at puck. And I think defensively he's improved a lot. And like you said, the addition of Carlson is, I'm defending Chris Letang. The addition of Carlson has needed or made him less, it made it less necessary for him to score as often as he
Oh, I agree.
He's less jittery to jump up on the play.
For me, that the 2.5 came as a result of just of his defensive play. I mean, with Carlson and even some of the Pettersson and the other guys playing well, it's just I think defense is what we need from him, not offense, and he hasn't been producing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, sorry. I don't know.
We're spending a lot more than 60 seconds on Chris Letang.
Yeah. Chris Letang needed defended. Evgeny Malkin, Jim, what do you think?
Okay, hold on. Let me start the clock here. Come on. There we go. I think 1.5.
Oh, my goodness. Malkin gets a 2.5.
I'm going to give Malkin 3.5.
Really?
Okay. Jim, defend your position.
Just the look of his last game it was just awful. It was just awful.
So you're rating him just based on
the last game?
I'm rating him over the course of the whole year. He's just not been as good as he needs to be.
Okay, I think Malkin has been doing okay. He's definitely had a drop off from the last season. He's not Gino Machino anymore, and it's kind of sad. But he needs to learn how to wake up every day ready to be the Gino we know and love. When he chooses to be angry, he's great.
I think Gino has been playing better than everyone has been saying. I feel like he's not vintage Gino. He's not a five-star Gino, but he's doing a lot of the right things.
Yeah.
He's just not getting the results, and it's not consistent, which is why he's not.
Fair enough.
He's not Gino Machino anymore, like you said.
Yep. Okay. Tristan Jarry, he gets a 4 from me. Abby.
I'm gonna say 4 as well.
I'm giving him a 3.
All right. I think Tristan Jarry, he did have a little slump in the middle of the season. How much of that was the lack of confidence that Sully was putting in on him just by going with the hot hand? And I know you do it, but you choosing Ned over him in a couple places. I think he's living up to the $5.5 million contract he signed. Will it age as well as it's looking now? Probably not. But I think Tristan Jarry has been playing well. He's a starting goalie.
Yeah. I, too, think Jarry's been a very good goalie. And I think he's been actually better with Ned because he hasn't been having to take as much of the workload. He's actually staying healthy, which is a plus. I think there are games where he's looked bad, but our defense has also been playing bad. So there's just... his numbers aren't great, but I think he's been doing well. He's in a good spot.
I think Jarry can be better. I think sometimes he gets into his own head and winds up doing crazy stuff that he shouldn't be doing. So that's just me. Yep. I don't think, and if I can take a little extra time, he hasn't matured enough, in my opinion, over the last several years. And I'm not talking about his game. I'm talking about some of the extracurricular stuff that he tries to do, which makes me laugh because I love it. But I also want to see him act like he's been there before. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But then again, Marc-Andre Fleury did the same stuff.
Marc-Andre Fleury did stuff, but he didn't. I mean, he wasn't like. Yeah, maybe you're right.
I don't know. I'm not trying to, I agree. I think Jarry does do a little more than necessary.
Okay, but. So let me ask you this, though. At this point in their career, who is the better goalie?
Oh, Mark.
That's not a question.
That's what I'm saying. So Flower had the cachet to back it up and get away with some of that stuff. Jarry doesn't. Jarry just needs to shut up and play.
It's the same narrative of Jordan Binnington, though. He doesn't either.
Exactly.
But he still does it.
I don't want Jordan Binnington to be my goalie.
Binnington took a team to a cup. He was one of the main reasons they won that cup.
In a hot rookie year, which is fine. But.
Yeah. That's what Murray did too.
Yep.
And where is Murray now?
Exactly. But I'm just saying. I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that the rookie cup doesn't mean that much. Is what I'm saying.
Oh. Disagree, but that's okay. Next guy on our list, we have Valtteri Puustinen. Abby, give us a grade.
4.25.
Yep. I didn't start it. Sorry. Come on. There we go. There you go. I have him at 3.
Three. I say three as well. Abby, give us a backup.
I say based on expectations, our expectations, he's an AHL player, right? You're bringing him in because of injuries. He has outplayed expectations by far. He has plenty of room to grow. He can play a lot of different places, but he's been outperforming expectations, which is why I gave him such a high grade.
Right. I put him at 3.25, actually. I know I said three. I meant 3.25. But, I think that's where the 0.25 came in, is that he is doing better than expected at this point. And I'd like to see him get some more playing time, because I think that would help him in his confidence and to be do even better. But yeah, 3.25 is where I've got him.
Agreed. I think three is perfect. Like you said, past expectations for sure. He shined a little bit. Last year when he came up, but I think he's just taking it to a whole nother level. And I agree. I think he should play with Chet Gensel and Sid. That may be saying going too far, but I think he should.
No, I think he should. I think he should too.
Hey, Ryan Graves is our next guy. Jim, you get a start here for Ryan Graves, big offseason acquisition. Well, free agent signing, I should say. Carlson was the...
Yeah. I actually have Graves. I have no idea with Graves.
Valid.
He's been up and down all year. So I guess.
Yeah, valid. I'm going to give him a 1.5.
Ooh.
Wow. I said 3.75.
Okay. Whoa!
I'll say, and I already kind of gave my reasons. Yeah. I think he's been up and down all year. There are times when he looks like, you know, what we hoped he would be. At times he looked like an absolute bust. But
yeah, I mean, he just looks lost out there sometimes. I don't understand why. I think he needs to take some time off this offseason, just recalibrate. I don't know. It looks terrible. I don't know why.
I think he's a pretty good defenseman, to be honest with you. I think he was getting too many minutes on the first pair, and it just caught up to him. But I think overall, he's a really good defenseman. He's been one of the most consistent defensemen besides Marcus Pettersson for this team. So,
yeah. Okay. He's just making too much to not get first or second line minutes.
That's fair. But also, I think they overworked him at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. All right. We got one more. Rickard Rakell. I start, I guess. I'm going to give him a 2.5.
I say 4.
Abby? I gave him a 3.5.
I want to be in your classroom, Abby. I say 2.5 simply because he went through a terrible slump this beginning of the season. I understand players do that, but it affects your star ranking when you go through a slump. Getting paid $5 million, playing top line minutes, you should be putting up more goals than he has this far through the season. He has started hurrying up, but at the midseason mark, he's a 2.5.
I think he started out in a slump, then he got injured for like 15 games. So that's part of the reason why his stats aren't doing very well. But the past 20 games, he's been one of the best players on our team. He has been consistent on both sides of the puck. He's just been that consistency that we need, and we're not getting enough from the other players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I gave him 3.5 because I think he's doing slightly better than average. So that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, compared to the rest of the team, yeah. But still, 2.5. All right. So that was our midseason rankings for 9 of the best players on the playing games.
You kidding me?
We'll take a short break, and we'll come back with random crap we want to talk about today. 10 players on the list for the best 45 in the last 45.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That means you get $200 to use on any bet you'd like their same game parlays, their anytime goal scorers, player props, goalie props, or which team's going to win which period. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Okay, guys, welcome back. We have some more random crap we want to talk about today. It's not really random because it's planned crap, I guess. Planned crap we want to talk about today. Where we are continuing the top 45 players of the last 45 years list. I will recap for those of you who don't know. And if you don't, if you want to follow, go to my Twitter. The linked or the pinned post is a link to the article where I'm just posting all my written reviews. You can read that there if you want to catch up on that as well. But the first... we got some honorable mentions, which I don't have written down. It's Marc-Andre Fleury didn't make cut. Where's your shoot?
Abby's incredulous.
Your list is null and void and is meaningless to me now.
You did you knew that back at the beginning.
Did I know that back at the beginning?
Yes. Dennis Safar, well, Joe Thornton, Phil Kessel, Eric Lindros, Marc-Andre Fleury, all honorable mention players. They missed the cut.
I'm okay with Eric Lindros not being on the list.
I know you are. Said Penguins fan. Oh, so our first player from number 45 was the man himself, Chris Letang. And then Duncan Keith was also on there at 44. 43 was Jonathan Toews. 42 was Andrei Vasilevskiy. 41 was Mike Modano. That was the first round of players. And second round of players, Austin Matthews made the cut. Eric Karlsson made the cut. Ed Belfour, Martin St. Louis, and Anze Kopitar. So that was the top or the bottom 10 players. That's 36 through 45. Now we have 10 players this week since we did not do it last week, and we have it scheduled out to where it'll line up with the end of the season. Or actually, no, we don't have it lined up that way. I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
We said five every week, and since we missed last week, we're going to do 10 this week. So number 35 on the list. Are you guys ready for this? You're not ready for it. Can you, any guesses? Based on the silhouettes you see up here, any guesses?
Leon Draisaitl.
Wow. Now, he did not make the cut.
Oh, honorable mention?
Not even an honorable mention.
Not well, even yeah, an honorable mention?
He hasn't won any individual awards. He hasn't won a
Ron Francis.
Cup.
Well, no, he won some Hart trophies, I think, or Art Ross's.
Ron Francis.
Oh, maybe an Art Ross.
Ronnie Francis? No.
No?
Ronnie Francis. Number 35 is Keen Hendrick.
Oh, yeah.
That was for Luongo.
Was for Luongo. My bad. But Lundqvist, it is Hank. Sorry, guys.
I get them confused all the time, too.
Luongo, I don't think, made the list. I can't remember. But it's, no, he didn't. Honorable mention, Luongo. But King Hank was about one of the three best goalies for about 10 years, from the late 2000s to the early 2010s. He won a Vezina Trophy in 2014-15 and finished top three four other times in Vezina Trophy voting. But, I mean, you had so many good goaltenders. Like, you had Fleury. I mean, Fleury didn't win any until recently. But you had Fleury. You had Bob. You had Holtby. You had, like, you had these great goalies in the same era as King Hank. But he finished his career with 459 wins, 310 losses. 69 ties or 96 ties or overtime shootout losses, overtime and shootout losses, 64 shutouts and a goals against of 2.43 and a save percentage of 0.918. The reason that Hank actually made this list was simply because of the cup run in 13-14.
Mm-hmm.
He was the backstop to that team, and he didn't even have a 60 point score on that team.
Can I say something about that year?
Yeah,
if they'd have had, just any kind of goal production in that finals, they would have won it.
Yeah, they lost to the Kings, I believe, was the team that beat them. But Matt Zuccarello was the highest scoring player on that team that year during the regular season at 59 points.
Yeah.
And they made the finals, which is ridiculous. He made the playoffs also 12 years. Also, he made the playoffs 12 out of the 15 years he played and had an overall playoff stat line of 61 wins, 67 losses, a 2.30 goals against average, and a 9.21 save percentage. He also posted 10 shutouts in 130 games played in the playoffs.
That's incredible.
Those are insane stats for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but the fact that he had those stats and is 61-67 in the playoffs is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It means,
it just proves that the Rangers, the only reason the Rangers were any good during that time was because of
Lundqvist.
King Hank.
Yep.
So that's why
they didn't even win anything for him.
No, they didn't. That's what sucks.
But he still made the Hall. He still made the Hall.
Yeah, he made the Hall. If you put Hank on this Rangers team now,
they're unstoppable.
Like prime Hank. Prime.
They
Hank.
Are absolutely unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Igor is not amazing, but Lundqvist is better.
Lundqvist is better.
They're not only favored to win the cup, but favored to win the cup by a ton margin.
Yeah. Yeah. -300 to make the cup. All right. The next 34 player, Marian Hossa. I know. As Penguins, we're not too excited. But you look at the numbers. Hossa, what's getting him on the list? 5 Stanley Cup appearances, right? His numbers are significant, having 1,134 points in 19 seasons, 525 goals, 609 assists. But 5 Stanley Cup appearances is what really puts him up there. You could complain about him having 3 wins, you know, like pull the LeBron James argument. He only's won 4 out of 10, 3 out of 5. You could do that. But, I mean, he missed the playoffs twice in 19 years. Only twice did he miss the playoffs in 19 years. He was on 5 teams in 19 years, average of 4 years per team. That's a big yikes. He played 7 years in Ottawa, 8 years in Chicago, 2.5 years in Atlanta, half a year in Pittsburgh, and then a year in Detroit. Because, you know, he was on the Penguins Cup run in 07-08, said signing with Detroit gave him a better chance to win, and made the cup again, lost to the Penguins. Hilarious.
I saw
Bitter Pens fans, yes.
I saw a Marian Hossa Detroit jersey at a thrift store the other day, and
you should have copped it, man.
I could buy this, but I decided against it.
Was it a Marian Hossa Detroit jersey?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The reason Hossa isn't higher is because he wasn't the reason he won those cups. He went to the Blackhawks. He had Kane. He had Taves. He had Keith. He had Patrick Sharp, Dallas Stars legend.
Yep.
Corey Crawford. Like, he played like 1 year in Detroit, Dallas, I think. That's funny. Something like that. But, I mean, he was ranked 7th, 4th, and 4th in scoring for those cup runs with the Blackhawks. And that's the reason he's not higher is because there's another guy who's on that team who's ranked higher than him, who's still up higher on the list. So
who could that be? I wonder.
I wonder. Patrick Sharp.
Yeah, Patrick Sharp.
The next
Patrick
player. Sharp, we got Tuukka Rask.
Tuukka Rask.
Tuukka Rask over there on the right side of your screen. If you look,
Tuukka.
Staring up into space. Looks like he should be on the Endgame poster.
Yes.
That is true.
Yes.
like I said earlier, the early 2010s was a great, great goalie time. Yeah, Tuukka Rask as well. Any decade for like any year in that, and you have like 4 Hall of Fame goalies playing.
And they were talking about this the other night when Fleury beat out Patrick Waugh for the second place in most wins at all time. Yeah. And they're like, this Flower is the last goalie of an entire era. And this era of goalies is completely different. Mm-hmm. It's like they're leaning more into the tandem style, and it's just it's the end of an era of elite goaltending.
Yeah. It's a lot again to tie it to the NFL, like running backs now. They're going tandem. Yep. You don't see a lot of bell cow running backs. You don't see a lot of bell cow goalies either.
Right.
Which is crazy. But back to Tuukka Rask. His stats are 308 wins, 65 losses, 66 ties and or overtime shootouts losses, 52 shutouts and a goals against of 228 and a save percentage of 921, the same that Lundqvist had in the playoffs. His personal accolades are 1 Vezina, a William M. Jennings trophy in 19 and 20, plus a 2 All-Star appearances. the reason that Rask is above Lundqvist is because he does have a cup in his trophy case. Not that he was starting for it, but he backed up Tim Thomas to that 2011 trophy for Bruins. Hank looks better on paper, but Tukarask has a cup. So that's the reason he's there. He made the playoffs he made the playoffs 8 years that he was in the league and made a deep playoff run in six of those 8 years, playing 104 games in the playoffs. And because of this, Tukarask is at 33, number 32. And this, so going to be honest, I was sitting, typing it up today, the list, and I was like, well, I had a guy here at 32, and I bumped him all the way up to 28 because I realized that I had him too low. So this guy should have been 31, but he's 32, and it is Pavel Datsyuk.
Love the guy.
You have to. Pavel Datsyuk is one of the greatest Red Wings to play in the last 45 years, in my opinion, and one of the silkiest puck handlers on the list. If you look up his highlights, they speak for themselves. His stats are 314 goals, 604 assists, and a total of 918 points in 953 games played. He won two cups with the Red Wings, beating the Hurricanes in his rookie year in 2001-02 and in 2008-09 against the Penguins, played on a team with Marian Hossa. Fun fact. He lost his third and last final appearance the following year against the Penguins. Just had to put that in there, just, you know, for posterity's sake.
Right.
His playoff stats are crazy, posting 42 goals and 71 assists in 157 games. And he made the playoffs yearly in the NHL. He never missed a postseason in his career. Individually, he's won three Selkies, four Lady Bings, and had one All-Star appearance, and that puts him at 32.
Only
one All-Star appearance, yeah.
That's awful.
Insane. Yeah.
That's insane. And then
31. Patrice Bergeron.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with
this
that.
This one may be more heart than head, just because I love Patrice Bergeron. But he is one of the best leaders on and off the ice in the NHL has ever seen. Bergie led the Bruins for 19 years, a one-team wonder, which if you've read or listened to the whole list recently, you know I love those one-team wonders. Like Datsyuk, like Kopitar. That's why they get so high up on the list. Like Taves, like, you know, one-team wonders are awesome. His stats are, you know, not eye-popping. They're 427 goals, 613 assists, totaling 1,040 points. He's played 1,257 games. He's a six-time Selke winner, taking him away from great players like Kopitar and Taves, who are already, you know, both on the list. He's won a Clancy, given to the best leader and humanitarian, excuse me, off the ice. And a Messier, given to the best leader on the ice. He took the Bruins to three Stanley Cup finals, winning one in 2010-11. Obviously, he wasn't a captain then. I believe he was wearing an A, though, back in 2010 and 11. He's played 170 games in the playoffs, making the postseason 14 out of the 19 years that he played. And like I said, he probably ranks higher in my personal rankings than he does on this list, but 31 is as high as I could have. So, there you go. That's the I think that was that five already.
Yep.
Yeah, there's five. Give your thoughts before I go further. Like you said, you didn't like Bergeron on the list this high. Is that right, Dan?
Oh no. I'm fine with him on the list. I'm fine with everyone you got on this list except Hossa. But that's just because, you know, that's more of a heart thing than anything.
Yeah.
But.
Who would you put up there? You know, like who would be 45 if he was off the list?
I don't know.
Would you put Fleury, Kessel, Eric Lindros?
Not Eric Lindros.
Abby, do you have anything to say against this list yet?
I don't know.
I want you guys to rip it.
I think Datsyuk should be higher than Bergeron.
What?
That's what I think.
You know, Datsyuk only had one All-Star appearance.
Yeah, but that's not his fault, though. You also have to consider the other guys on his team,
the era?
He played
there were like four other All Star caliber players on.
Yeah, and that's why
he's lower. Because you can't say that he was one of the main reasons they won those cups.
Oh yeah, you can. But
your argument is if Datsyuk should be higher, then what about Lindstrom? What about Oz? Like those guys, did they not help with those cups?
Yes, but what I'm saying is though that Datsyuk was the heart of that team. He did. I mean, other guys scored more and got the All-Star appearances more, but Datsyuk was the most consistent. He was the most entertaining, in my opinion. He did things that nobody else could do. In my opinion, and some of the things that he, like the things that he tried to do and succeeded in doing, most guys wouldn't even try. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we even call that one, you know, that Datsyuk one thing, flip. Datsyuk flip. Right. And that's, to me, that he is, to me, and this is something because I'm not a Detroit Red Wings fan by any stretch of the imagination, but to me, he is iconic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so for that reason, I think he needs to be a little bit higher on the list, but I have no issue with him. Like from what you said and the stats being what they are, having him there, but honestly, I think he should have had more than one All-Star appearance, but it always went to guys like Yzerman at the beginning of his career. It went to guys like Zetterberg near the end of his career.
Yeah, totally forgot about Zetterberg.
Because those two guys were more of the face of the franchise than Pavel Datsyuk.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Pavel Datsyuk was a trailblazer in his era. Mm-hmm. And he is one of the biggest reasons that the NHL is the way it is today. As skilled up as the NHL is today is because Pavel Datsyuk dared to do what he did on the ice.
Did he ever get beat up for being skilled up?
Probably.
All right. So
next five.
Thank you for those words. Disagree, but thank you.
Of course you disagree because it's your list.
It is my list. Joe Nieuwendyk is number 30 on our list. Dallas Stars legend. Nieuwendyk, like I said last time we did the list with St. Louis, didn't know much about him, but it was great to learn more. He played five different teams during this 20-year career, playing on the Calgary Flames, Stars, Devils, Leafs, and the Panthers. His stats are very even. It's hilarious. He has 564 goals and 562 assists. Gathering a total of 1,126 points. Individually, he won a Calder in 87-88 for his rookie season, obviously, a King Clancy, and a Conn Smythe in the 98-99 finals with Dallas, with which he won with Ed Belfour, who's also on the list.
Okay. Right.
He also and won Brett with Hull. Someone else, Mike Modano.
And Brett Hull.
And Brett Hull.
Was on that team, too.
Nieuwendyk made it to the playoffs for 16 years out of his 20 years in the NHL, played 158 games and made it to the finals four times, twice with Dallas, once with Calgary, and another time with New Jersey. But he only won it once, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. I got to check it. I don't have it written down. I mean, I have it on another. No, he won it three times. My bad. Twice with Dallas and then with the Devils. Again, that's all I got for Joe Nieuwendyk, and he's at 30.
I don't think the Stars have won two cups.
Then maybe he won it with Calgary.
The Stars have only won one.
You're right. Sorry, my bad. I misspoke. Because they lost to the Penguins.
The North Stars.
The other one that he made, too. Yeah. All right. Moving on. This was the guy that I said was super high up on the pyramid. Adam Oates.
Wow, look Adam at him Oates. Way up there.
Look at him, all the way up there, right next to this guy in black and gold. I wonder who that is. Like Joe, I knew very little about Adam Oates, but this man could score. His stats are ridiculous. He's the first guy to average over a point per game on this list in his career.
And he's that far down.
Because he played for seven teams.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
See, Andrew likes guys who are consistent to their team. And the reason he's above Joe Nieuwendyk is simply because of the numbers. 341 goals and 1,079 assists for a total of 1,420 points in 1,337 games. He played the seven teams he played for: Detroit, St. Louis, Boston, Washington, Philly, Anaheim, and Edmonton. His only individual hardware is an all-star selection in the 90-91 season. He made it to the playoffs 15 times, missing only 4 years in his 19-year career, and was 7 points away from averaging a point per game in the playoffs.
Wow.
Only 7 points away. He made it to 2 Stanley Cup championships, losing both. He lost one as a Washington Capital to the Detroit Red Wings, and as a Mighty Duck against the New Jersey Devils. Yeah. Which was funny because he played for all four of those teams. but that's what you get for bouncing around, I guess.
Yeah.
And I know individually and from a Stanley Cup championship, he doesn't look like he should belong this high on the list, but, as an award, accomplished player, but the stats are ridiculous. So he sits at 29. This next guy, this was the guy that I had at 32 and had a bump up, or 31 and had a bump up. Timu Solani. I looked and I was like, I can't put Timu that low. But people may think he's low anyway.
Where is
Timu
he?
Solani is right here next to Bergeron and Martin St. Louis and Kopitar.
He needs a bigger face, man.
That's a picture from his rookie year.
He kind of gets lost in there, man. Where'd he go? Anyway, go ahead.
He's right there. See him?
I see him. I see him now that you pointed him out.
All right. This guy, Timu Solani. His stats are, again, he's over point per game for his career. 684 goals, 773 assists in 1,451 games played. He has, here are the hardware. Here's the hardware. A Calder, 4 All-Star game appearances, a Rocket Richard, and a Bill Masterton trophy. And he scored 50 goals in a season.
More than once?
I don't know what he scored 50 goals in a season 3 times and topped 100 points. He topped 100 points 3 times and scored 50 goals on 4 occasions. He played a whopping 21 years and holds the record for most goals in a rookie season at 76, which might be a pro on NHL 24 is about to beat, by the way. anyway.
Of course.
The reason he's so low, can anyone guess?
Was he on 3 different teams?
He jumped around too many times. Also, he played on 4 teams.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Did he win a cup?
Yeah,
he did. He won the one with
Anaheim.
Only won one cup.
Yeah, right? And he wasn't even, he wasn't the engine that could on that team. He had guys like Scott Niedermayer and Ryan Getzlaff, Corey Perry.
Cowie Paley,
yeah. Ryan Miller in net, I believe, was where he was at. But
really? Yeah. Well, hold on. I thought he won with Paul Kariya and them. I don't think he ever played with. I could be wrong. I've been wrong once or twice before.
Wait, wasn't Paul Kariya on that team with Corey Perry? Corey Perry was like a young kid.
They won their first Stanley Cup. Yeah, Paul Kariya was on that team. It was 2002.
Boom.
Okay. But I was... so.
No,
but
Corey, 2001, they won the cup.
I think it was 2007 they won the cup.
Well, then when did he win his cup? I know he played. We're going to have to cut this out, guys.
That's all right. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
No, I appreciate you calling me out.
Yeah, the Mighty Ducks won the cup in 2007. And for some reason, Cam Fowler's picture is the thing that pops up, which is hysterical.
No, that was the year he won the cup, guys.
In 2007?
One cup winner. Yeah, 2007. He won it in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Right here.
And
which that's
John Sebastian
Giguere.
Timo Solani, Andy McDonald, Scott Niedermayer, Chris Kunitz, Chris Pronger, Ryan Getzlaff, Corey Perry. That was right.
Yeah. So,
Ryan Miller was not in net. John Sebastian Giguere.
Giguere. Giguere is how you pronounce that. Yeah.
That's not how you say that. But no, he was not on this team. What were you saying, Dad? Who were you saying?
Paul Kariya.
Paul Kariya was not on this team.
Okay. I knew Timu won it with Corey Perry. I knew he did. I'm a Ducks fan, guys. I knew he did.
Huh. Okay. I thought for sure. Okay. My bad. Then forgive me for being an idiot.
It's okay. We love you.
Ah, I'm glad you do.
Did he play with Paul Kariya? He probably played.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he played with Paul Kariya.
So that might be what you were thinking.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
All right. So Timu won the cup with the Mighty Ducks in 2006-2007. I have it right here written down. Anyway, Timu played for 21 years and only made the playoffs 13 years, which is another reason he's lower. A disturbing fact, you know, he only averaged 10 games played per playoff he made. So like that's like round two or something like that.
Yeah.
So that makes Timu Selänne slot in here at 28, a little bit lower than people probably would have liked, but that's where he is. Sorry. This next guy you mentioned at the beginning of this, Dad, Ron Francis.
There he is, my man. I love you, yes, Ronnie.
He's in a Carolina Hurricane jersey. But Ron Francis is a 2-time Stanley Cup winner, 4-time All-Star, 3-time Lady Bing winner, a Clean Clansley, and a Frank L. Sulke Award winner. Oof, that's a lot of hardware. He put up 549 goals, and 1,259 assists, averaging over a point per game for his career, 1,798 points in 1,731 games. Francis played 23 seasons and had 3 seasons where he put up 100 or more points and 22 seasons where he scored over 50. That means he only had 1 season where he scored under 50 points. In terms of playoffs, he made it 17 out of 23 seasons and made it to the finals 3 times, winning 2 with the back-to-back Pittsburgh Penguins of the 90s.
Woo!
He also averaged 10 playoff games per season, putting up double-digit points in 5 playoff runs.
Okay.
Did you say he played for 23 seasons?
Yes.
Dang.
So now, quick thought. Now, I just wanted, how many teams did you say he played for?
That's a good question. I don't think I have it written down. Or not there. Ron Francis played for 3 teams.
Actually, he played for 2 teams. Because he started with the Hartford Whalers.
Yes.
Then he was traded to Pittsburgh. And then Pittsburgh, yes. I think he went as a free agent back to the Whalers, which were the Hurricanes.
No, they were the Hurricanes.
Right, but it's the same franchise.
Not according to some people. Did you hear that argument that the Carolina Hurricanes should not be able to wear the Whalers jerseys, even though they're the same franchise?
He played 12 games for the Maple Leafs at the end of his career.
Boom.
Roasted. Oh, there we go. Okay.
So he has 3. Played for 3 different franchises.
All right, fair enough.
I was about to pull that out. Thank you, Abby.
You're welcome.
Okay. Never mind.
No, it's okay. Thank you. Busted. Another thing that adds to his legacy is that he is currently the general manager of the Seattle Buckeyes, and he's put together one of the greatest, well, in my opinion, one of the better franchise, not better than Vegas, but like they're winning, and he's put together a heck of a team over there in Seattle. So that adds to it. And he says at 27, and finally on this list, the number 26, Scott Niedermayer. I mentioned him earlier, talking about Timu Selänne. But Niedermayer played most of his career with the New Jersey Devils until 05-06, where he played for and captained the Anaheim Ducks until his retirement in 2010. In 18 years in the NHL, he put up 172 goals and 568 assists, which is not super impressive, but he's a defenseman. And his plus-minus for his career was at +167.
Wow.
Dang.
That's
a great accomplishment. He made the playoffs 15 times out of his 18 years and won the cup 4 times, 3 with the Devils and 1 with the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, he awards include a Norris in 03-04, a Conn Smythe in 06-07, and 4 All-Star nods. And now the reason he is higher than Francis or Datsyuk or a lot of these guys is because he won 4 cups. And he did that while being loyal to his teams. He played in New Jersey for 13 years and won 3 cups. He played for the Ducks for 5 years, won a cup. And I just think that I love it when guys will stick out with a team and do it. Like, it's great that McDavid's staying where he is. Is he winning? No. Like Matthews, you know, like these guys who stick to it. And that's one of the big things about this list. So there you have it. The next 10 in the list, that's 25 players, fun fact, of the last 45. We are halfway through the list, and there are plenty more names to go. Guys, what are your thoughts so far?
I loved Scott Niedermeyer. I loved him as a guy. I loved watching him play because I thought he was really good, but I hated him because he always knocked Pittsburgh out of the playoffs when he was with Jersey. Yeah. And so I kind of hated his guts when he was with New Jersey. But yeah, looking back on it, he was a very steady, and I think if I'm not mistaken, he got traded to the Ducks, maybe during the off season or maybe during the season. So I don't know if it, you know, was his choice to leave New Jersey. Yeah. If he would have stayed his whole career with New Jersey, I think he probably would have, because he probably got traded
during the lockout season, because I did not see any transaction during the season.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so it probably was either during the lockout in 04 or 05 or during the offseason, like you said.
Yeah.
But yeah. Abby, any thoughts?
Just that Datsuk should be higher, that's all.
Oh my goodness.
She's still on that.
I'm a big Datsuk gal.
You know, that's all. Valid.
All right.
That's valid. So that has been Random Crap We Want to Talk About Today. Thank you guys so much for listening to, you know, me rant and ramble about these guys. It's been fun learning a lot about some guys that I didn't know, like Joe Neuendijk.
Yeah.
Scott Niedermeyer, Ron Francis. Like, I know the names. I don't know what they did or anything, but it's been fun. It's been a fun experiment. We got a lot more current players up ahead. So,
yeah,
come back.
All right, cool.
So, time for prediction contest.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. What a great week.
So let's get a rundown of what has happened thus far in the prediction contest. Jim.
All right.
This is your time to shine.
Yes, it is. Hang on just a second.
This is the one thing you get to do the entire time.
Okay,
the only
the only time we let him run anything.
Here we go. So the team predictions this week. As a team, we had a great week.
We had a heck of a week, man.
We went 80% this week. As a team.
I love how you're trying to make this a team thing. It's not a team thing. It's a competition.
But no.
He knows he's going to lose.
But listen. We make
Rain
it
a and champ, baby. Rain and champ.
We make it a team thing because as a podcast, you know, we would put our prediction skills against any other podcast out there.
It's true.
And since we're sitting at 80% overall this year, that's pretty dang good. I suppose. Don't you? I mean, well, I guess 80% this week. Overall, we're 52.9%.
I don't like our chances going up against
Maybe not. But
I would not put money on myself.
We all had a great week this week. Andrew went 3 for 5. Abby went 4 for 5. And someone else went 100% this week and got every winner right this week. So I'm very pleased with my performance this week.
Hey, your boy got...
You got a right score. I'm happy for you. Score. Well done. 3 points. Well done. Thank you. The Florida game. So overall,
you both got 5 points, and I only got 4. So just shush.
That's true. Okay, so here's how it broke down. So the Pittsburgh at Vegas game. Vegas won that game 3-2. Abby and Jim both picked Vegas to win that game, and so we both got a point. Tampa Bay at Detroit. Everybody picked Detroit to win that game. Detroit won it 2-1. And we all picked it to go to overtime. It did not go to overtime, but we all got a point for that game. And then Florida at Nashville, we all picked Florida, and Andrew actually got the right score. Florida won that game 4-1. So Andrew got 3 points in that game, and Abby and Jim both got a point. Winnipeg at Toronto. This was a game that did not live up to expectations. I'm just saying, because it was a 1-0 game in overtime. But Toronto came out on top, and so I got a point on that one, barely, but I got a point. And then the last game of the week was Boston at Ottawa. We all picked Boston. Boston won it in overtime 3-2. And so the final scores for week 16, Jim in first place at 44, Abby in second at 42, and Andrew very close at 41. So that's where we are heading into week 17. And here is the games that we'll be picking. Now, this week, there aren't very many games. There's a whole bunch of games on Saturday, which is today, if you're listening to this podcast, the day it comes out. So we're picking four games from Saturday, one from Monday. And that's what's going on this week. Yes, Abby has a question.
Okay, I don't have a question. No, I just have something to say. Because you said about that Toronto game, and I was thinking about this, and I wanted to say it at some point. But the Spit and Chicklets podcast, I watched a video from the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and they were talking about how the Toronto Maple Leafs actually kind of suck this year. Mm-hmm. Because they only have 15 regulation wins. Out of 24 wins, only 15 of them have been in regulation.
Right.
And I just wanted to point that out. And they've also had 8 overtime mm-hmm. losses.
I so they're like, just... Hey, guys, Toronto sucks.
Toronto sucks. Yes, I'm going to say that. Anyways, but also another plug for if this league did the 3-2-1-0 point system.
I was just going to bring that up.
Toronto would be like 7th in the Atlantic.
Probably. So, yeah.
Anyways, that's all I have to say.
So here are the games we're picking this week. Saturday, 12:30 game, Boston at Philadelphia. And then also Saturday, 2 p.m. game, Washington at Dallas. And then the 2 p.m. games, first of all, Toronto at Winnipeg, and then Montreal at Pittsburgh. And then Monday night's game is Nashville at Ottawa. So being in first place, I get to pick first. And so Boston at Philly is the first game on the list. I'm taking Boston in this game to win it 5-2. Abby, who you got?
I also have Boston by a score of 3-1.
3-1. Andrew?
Can you give me the teams again? Sorry.
Boston at Philly. Afternoon game.
Boston at Philly. I gotta go Boston, man. You can't do that. Boston by a score of 4-2-2.
Okay.
I was nervous there for a second because I already wrote down Boston for you in my pen because I knew, and then you were like hesitating, yeah, and I'm like,
You kidding me?
All right, so we got Washington at Dallas, the second game. This is a 2 p.m. afternoon game, Eastern time. Actually, 1 p.m. in Dallas. So Washington at Dallas. I am picking Dallas to win this game 4-1. Abby, who you got?
I'm going to pick Dallas. But I do have a question. Do you guys watch Dallas hockey at all?
Yes,
a little bit.
Okay. So my favorite thing that has happened for the Dallas Stars in the past 2 weeks, both because I love it in real life and I love it in fantasy, is that Wyatt Johnston is now playing on the first line. And Joe Pavelski has been bumped down. But I picked up Wyatt Johnston on my fantasy team when he was still playing on the third line. And now he's a first line forward, like producing so many points. And I'm just stoked about it. Anyways, that was random, but I needed to put that in there as well. I'm saying Dallas is going to win this game. And I think they're going to win 4-3 in overtime.
Oh, my goodness.
They won 4-3 in overtime yesterday against who are they even playing? Oh, I don't even remember. That's bad. But Thomas Harley, they're playing Anaheim. Thomas Harley, watch out for that guy. He's going to be great. Anyways, okay. He scored the overtime winner.
Andrew, who you have in this game?
For Dallas, is that what the one we're doing?
Washington at Dallas.
It's been
Dallas.
So long.
Yeah.
I'm talking so much about Dallas.
Washington at Dallas. Dallas,
thank you.
5-1. Is that what you said? 5-1?
Yep.
I want to make sure I got the right
victory
score there.
Green, let's go.
All right. Next.
I want to see a game in Dallas, dude.
Next game is Toronto at Winnipeg. I have Winnipeg actually winning this game 4-3 in overtime. Andrew, who you got? Or Abby, who you got?
This is the exact same game we picked last time, except we're in Winnipeg.
Right, right.
This is dumb. I'm going to say Winnipeg.
Don't tell me
again.
It's dumb.
It is dumb. I'm going to say Winnipeg is going to win 4-2, because Toronto's a bunch of pretenders.
Okay, Andrew?
Winnipeg 3-2 OT. Abby talking about how they haven't really won in overtime is something that
So far, we've all picked the same teams to win this
game.
That's
what I'm saying. Someone's got to switch it up.
Next game, Montreal at Pittsburgh. I have Pittsburgh winning this game 4-2. Abby, who you got?
Trying to think. Abby? If I say Montreal.
Abby?
Who you got? It's Abby? In Pittsburgh. It's on the back end of a back-to-back, too. And we all know what you think about back-to-backs.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I'll say Montreal.
Good Lord, have mercy.
3-2 in overtime.
All right.
Pittsburgh, 4-3 in overtime.
Ooh, 4-3. OT. Okay. Last game, Nashville at Ottawa. I have Ottawa winning this game 5-3. Abby?
Nashville.
Score?
I'm thinking. 2-1.
Okay. Listen, guys. We took a break from putting Nashville on the predictions, right? We put them back on there. I voted against them. I did get the correct score. We then week 15, we put them on there again. I picked against them. They won against the Islanders in week 15. Week 16, correct score against Florida. But it's Ottawa. It's Ottawa. I can't pick Ottawa, so I'm going Nashville 5-2.
Okay. All right, so let's recap it. Here we go. We've got Boston at Philadelphia. Everybody picked Boston. Andrew 4-2, Abby 3-1, Jim 5-2. Washington at Dallas. Everybody picked Dallas. Andrew 5-1, Abby 4-3 in overtime, Jim 4-1. Toronto at Winnipeg. Everybody picked Winnipeg. Andrew 3-2 in overtime, Abby 4-2, Jim 4-3 in overtime. Pittsburgh or Montreal at Pittsburgh. Andrew and Jim picked Pittsburgh. Andrew 4-3 in overtime. Jim 4-2. And Abby picked Montreal 3-2 in overtime. Nashville at Ottawa. Jim has Ottawa winning 5-3. Abby and Andrew have Nashville winning. Andrew 5-2. Abby 2-1.
He's dying. Oh my goodness.
Very nice.
All right, go ahead.
I am confident. I am confident in that Nashville pick, and I am not normally confident.
I'm sorry, guys. In Nashville pick too.
Also,
Ottawa sucks. But.
I have so many Ottawa players actually in fantasy. I have Claude Giroux on both of my fantasy teams, and he's actually really good for fantasy for whatever reason. He's pretty decent, and then I have Vlad. On one of my teams.
I forgot Vlad was on Ottawa.
Yeah, I forget he's on Ottawa too. And then I have Jacob Chychrun on another team. Anyways.
Or Jacob Chychrun.
But I also have Nick Suzuki on my fantasy team. So, you know.
Nick Suzuki's clutch.
We'll go with it. I kind of like Nick Suzuki. He's probably the best thing that's ever happened to that Montreal team.
Cole Caulfield. Or okay. Goal Caulfield. Goal.
No, but I think this might be a hot take. I think Suzuki's more vital to that team than Caulfield.
No, I agree. That's why he's a captain.
Also, I didn't realize until just a little while ago that Suzuki was drafted by Vegas.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They traded him for Max Pacioretty, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Who lasted how long in Vegas and then got injured and now then was in Carolina and never even played.
No, he never laced him up for Carolina. That's
I don't even know if trivia.
Whip that out at your next cocktail party.
And then now he's over there in Washington.
Yeah, because I go to so many of them.
Yeah, Paul Stastny was under contract with the Carolina Hurricane. Hurricane's a legend, actually. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, let's be honest.
As much of a legend as Patrick Sharp is in Dallas.
Dude, Patrick Sharp, legend.
Patrick Sharp also played in Philadelphia. Did you know that?
All right.
I did know that. I did know that.
Good show, everybody.
He's in Philly's front office now.
We need to finish wrapping up the.
He did all of them.
I did all of them.
Okay, my bad. I thought.
Where you been?
That's why I was waiting for you. You were dying.
This is why you don't.
He said.
I choked on that last one.
On my Nashville 2-1, okay, he started dying. Yep. On his.
All right. Oh, excuse me. He played 2 seasons in Dallas, over 100 games for Dallas.
Patrick Sharp.
Patrick Sharp, yeah. 26, 15, 16, 16, 17.
Did he?
Played 3 years with Philly, the rest with Chicago. Yeah.
Did he retire from Dallas then?
No, he went 1 year with Carolina. Are you playing the outro music?
I am.
Why?
Because it's time to end.
No,
it's been an hour and a half.
I can't hear it either. Yeah, so what? It's been we.
I'm blocking out the outro music. So
we did a small one, a short one last week, so we have to make it up this week.
There's how about?
I was gonna say. Oh, I think we should buy a trophy for the prediction contest.
Okay.
That would
with
be
like
sick.
Little plaques on it to put who won it when. And I sent you guys a link to it, so check it out. We should buy, it's like $60 or something, $70. It'll be fun.
Okay.
Got a little hockey guy on top. It has like 9-10 spaces where you can put little.
That feels kind of like an investment that I don't want to make.
Wow. Rude. All right.
Wait though.
We should go to a thrift store and find a trophy with a little hockey guy.
A bowling trophy.
Or there you go. Trophy. Or a bowling trophy.
Abundant.
Be unnecessarily huge.
Yes.
And we could have Abby just like in Sharpie mark the winners on
there
the
you
back.
Go.
Yeah. Or we can chisel it in like they do the Stanley Cup. Sorry, Abby, go ahead.
No, this isn't really that important, but I was thinking because we need to plug the PWHL, which apparently
no, we
people
don't.
Are calling people are calling it the P-Dub now, which I love.
Oh, P-Dub.
The P-Dub. But so
that was my nickname
I was listening
in high school.
Okay, so I was listening to a Minnesota Wild podcast that had it's called Wild on 7th. But anyways, they interviewed Taylor Heise and Grace Zumwinkel, who big Minnesota gals. They went to University of Minnesota and now they play for Minnesota and the
Golden Gophers.
Anyway, but they were talking to them and apparently the Minnesota Rain is what the locker room wants them to call the PWHL Minnesota.
They want to call I was talking Minnesota to a couple guys yesterday and I was like talking about that and I was like, they should just call them the Minnesota Hockey Club or the New York Hockey Club. I think that'd be so cool. And just like get like crests like the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Premier League. I think it would be cool. Anyway.
That would be really cool.
The Minnesota Rain. I like that. I think that has a nice flow to it.
And they're purple. So
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. That's all right. That I wanted to say.
Cue the outro music. Did you? Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. Make sure you check us out everywhere you can check us out on Twitter, on X, on Instagram, on Facebook. Email us at the Penguin Stuff or Pens and Stuff podcast at gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the podcast. Give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's freaking go.
Also, if you're interested in movies, I do a movie podcast with this guy called the Movie Minutemen Podcast.
You can stop. You're not allowed to plug yourself.
I can plug myself. What are you talking about? You plug the P-Dub.
Yeah, but that's hockey.